Hey, what's up, Five Star Nation, and welcome to March. Can you believe it? March, which means our Winter Knockout Challenge has officially ended. You guys absolutely crushed it, man. This month, watching you guys all work hard, chasing each other, burning those calories and getting those MEPs, it was incredible. So here we are. It's March 1st. I'm going to go down through the top 10. So we have it officially out there, and I'm going to use your nickname. So coming in 10th was BPO. Great job. In 9th, we had Nadi. In 8th, we had Maria L. 7th, Melanie. 6th, Meryl. 5th, Liz. 4th, C. Shelby. 3rd, Casey. 2nd, we had Lil Becca. And then coming in at number 1, the man, Hot Rod. Great job to everybody. Thank you guys for always making it fun at Five Star and always pushing each other to just do your best and do better. You guys truly are an inspiring team, and keep up the good work. Now on to this week's show.
On my count, we're going to throw all three together. This isn't about going fast. It's about doing it right. All four together.
Hey, that was the sound of our special guest this week off the mats. He is a husband, son, father, and grandfather on the mats. He is a coach, mentor, leader, and fighter. Hey, thanks for tuning in and welcome to the You Never Know Who You're Inspiring podcast with Paul Napoli and Tim Ellis. Last week, we talked about not overcomplicating life, and one of the bullet points was we're all work in progress. Well, part of that work in progress is you got to have discipline. Discipline is key to everything we do day in and day out. Every day, every single day, you can't hold back. You gotta be disciplined. So who the better to talk to about discipline than our very own Mr. Jim Ferenczi. Enjoy. Hey, and welcome to our show this week. We are here with Five Star's own, my dear friend, Paul's dear friend, Jim Ferenczi. Jim, hello.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Paul.
Jim, you don't sound excited, man. Come on.
I am so excited to be here, Paul. You can't believe it.
So listen, Jim, although we forced you here.
You did. Just like the Backstreet Boys, which I snuck out of. Unfortunately, I couldn't sneak out of this one because Jim stood in front of the door.
We should have done that last time.
Exactly. Man, we are talking, we got a lot going on, and we're talking about discipline this week. And I thought, man, who would be a better person to talk to about discipline other than our very own Jim Ferenczi? Now, Jim, a little background on you. You know, the first and foremost, you're a family guy.
Yes,
so,
sir.
So talk to us a little bit about that.
About my family?
Yes.
Wow.
Let's get right into it, man.
I love it.
Not holding back.
Most people know, father of 5, grandfather of 4. Got an interesting family because I, you know, have 2 older kids with my first wife, and I have 3 with Chris, that everybody knows Chris. Of the 3 kids, all 3 have Tourette's and a few other interesting diagnoses that we deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes our life a little interesting. So keeping everything together is a challenge at times.
And, you know, talking about challenges and hurdles you've crushed along the way, what brought you into karate? So let's get right into it, man.
What brought you into... You want to talk about how we got here into Five Star?
Yes.
How we got here into Five Star. So those that know Dylan wanted to do karate. He knew Dad and David and Mom did karate, and Jillian did karate many years ago, and we ended up stopping that journey for many reasons. And Dylan wanted to do it, but Dylan was Dylan again, Tourette's, sensory kid, was having a lot of issues, couldn't ride the school bus, wanted to take karate, took him to many karate studios. I can't tell you how many karate studios we sat in the parking lot, looked in the windows. Same thing here at Five Star. We looked in the windows, probably like peepers. Finally got him inside the door. We sat here one day, and actually Paul did leave us alone, didn't say anything. We left, came back another day, and he said, "Hey, what's going on?" I told him a little bit of the story. Again, Dylan just wanted to watch. Third time we did finally sign up, did a one-on-one with Paul, and Dylan cried, which then forced me to join. because of course Dylan wouldn't do it without me.
Anyway, how old were you then?
Oh God. 49.
So you're 49 when you started your
48.
Man, and how old was Dylan?
Oh, you're killing me, Tim.
Seven. You sure about that?
No.
Chris, he was around.
I'm sure she's going to call in and say, hey, put me on next time because I know more. She's got more of the real dates. But I would say he was 7 or 8, right, Paul?
Absolutely. Yeah. He was right around 7 or 8. Little guy, little squirt.
So, yep. Paul, you remember that day. I know you do.
Oh, I remember that day. I remember the day that they came in the first time. I remember the day they came in the second time. I remember the private lesson in the office. So the studio was a lot different. It was a lot smaller. We had an office. I remember doing the lesson with Dylan and then Jim, you know, being a part of it. I mean, I specifically remember, and I don't know why, but practicing front kicks on the blue body shield with Dylan and Jim. And I remember a lot of back and forth messages with Jim and I, and just a lot, all the way from, are you sure you're ready for this? Are you sure you... And I don't know if Jim wants me saying that out loud, but I remember specifically he said to me, are you sure you want this challenge? And, you know, of course, 100%. And then I remember even beyond that a little bit when Jim was really talking about getting into karate and how he always had his goal of black belt. As he mentioned, they trained, you know, previously somewhere else. And, you know, Jim had this goal. He wanted to be a black belt. And I know that he had... And I would love, hopefully he'll talk about it right now. Talk about discipline, like, and you were right, Jim is the perfect man for this. But I remember the messages back and forth, however many years ago that was, and how you really wanted to earn a black belt, but it was going to be impossible for you because of your knees and how bad your knees were and your knee surgeries. And, you know, there's just no way that you're going to be able to do karate. And here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
It's incredible. When I started here, you know, Jim came in right after one of your knee surgeries.
I did.
You were coming back.
Yes.
So I didn't know you before, but you were coming back, and God, man.
That was the last one I had.
It was meant to be. Like, our friendship from that point on.
It was great.
It's just stronger and stronger every day, and I wouldn't want to train with anybody else.
So at 49 years old, Jim started his black belt journey at Five Star Martial Arts. Recently, he achieved his second degree black belt while balancing family, work, and life. And when I say life, Jim had bad news that came from the doctor who told him he would never do karate again. Listen in as he talks about the discipline it took to persevere through that bad news and get to where he is today.
Discipline.
Yes, sir.
What's your secret? Sir. What could you, if you had anything to tell anybody listening, what is it? What drives you? How do you do it?
I don't quit. I refuse to quit.
Okay.
I can remember the day before my last knee surgery when I went in. He said, I'll clean it one more time, but you need a replacement and you will never do karate again. That word, never, just struck me bad. He said, you're a little overweight, which at the time I was probably 45 pounds heavier than I am today. And your knee is just, there's nothing left. So I'm not going to let anything get in my way and stop me. It's just one of those things. Somebody says, you know, you're not going to get in the ring at 50 something years old. Yeah, guess what? Sure, to them. And I did.
Right.
Twice.
Twice. We'll go for three when Chris allows it, but I don't think that's going to happen.
good luck.
But anyway, it's just pushing through. You know, I tell everybody, because a lot of people say, why? I said, you got to get by the first 3 weeks. You really, really got to push. If you set your mind to whatever it is, like, I'll tell you, when I'm training for a fight, I go to the gym at 5 a.m. every day. Every day of the week, 7 days a week, I go to the gym. That night, I'm in here. Every day, 5 days a week, I'm here during the day. I go in on Saturdays, and sometimes I'll take Sundays off. You have to do it. And yep, I have my family time. I spend all the time with my kids, my grandkids. We've done trips to Florida with everybody. You can do it all if you just set your mind to it and push and don't quit. don't take excuses. I mean, it's very easy to take an excuse and say, I'm not going to do it. That's the easy way. The hard way is to just go and do it. Yeah. Just go and do it. I can't sit at home and not do anything. It's just not in my anymore. I used to. I did. When I'd sit there and say, my knee hurts. My knee hurts. I can't do anything. My knee hurts. Because it controlled me. Now I control it.
That's it. You control it.
Control
it. You know, there's a difference. You know, in the morning, your alarm clock goes over. You have a choice. Either get up or hit the snooze button.
Yeah. I don't know what a snooze button is.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And, you know, the listeners, whoever's listening in on this, you know, we haven't even painted the picture yet. It is 9 o'clock on a weeknight. You've been here all night.
Sir.
You've been teaching. You've been training. And here we are sitting in the middle of the five-star martial arts school on the mats. We're literally on the mats, barefoot, sitting here.
Yeah.
If that's not discipline, then I don't know what is. And you know what? I think the important message that we want to get out this week is it's all about, you know, I think we said it a couple episodes ago, Paul, you got to just do it. You have to do it. We keep revisiting that. And nobody can make that choice but you.
Right.
You have to do it. That's discipline. You have to get up. That's discipline. You're here tonight because you knew there were people coming here that wanted to learn from you.
Yep.
Right. So we talked about your family. We talked about you work. We talked about you had knee surgeries. You had all these hurdles. And man, discipline and your will to drive yourself, your being, to positive ways and just keep moving forward. It's incredible. And it's something that I think everybody should mirror.
Thank you.
Jim nailed it with a couple of the points, and you already drove them home, but just, you know, we're talking about discipline, right? We're talking about, you know, this podcast, the whole point of it really is to try to help be inspiration for people and take our own life journeys and reflect on them and hopefully inspire others to, you know, attack their goals and to do, to be a different, you know, make a difference in their lives. And Jim said it, and he's just a perfect example of it every day. Like you mentioned with his work schedule, and the fight training, his own training, this and that. And I know, like he said, he was at the gym at 5 a.m. Then he would work. Then he would go and he'd train all night and teach. You know, you can do anything. I was listening to a different podcast earlier today, and it's funny because it mirrored everything that we already talked about, ironically, in our goal setting one. But you can do anything you want, or you cannot do it. It takes that drive. And Jim said it perfectly when he said, I didn't let it control me. I controlled it. I decided that I'm going to take this and I am going to do with it what I want because I'm in control. And I just love it. It's spot on.
Exactly.
The ability to have discipline is in each and every one of us. It comes from a mental state. Everything we do throughout life, whether it's with our family, whether it's at work, whether it has to do with our diets, maybe our exercise routines, whatever it is, throughout your day, discipline is within you. And again, it's a mental state. It starts as a mental state. You always have choices. Everything you do throughout the day, man, do I load up on sugar in the morning or do I need eat a nice, healthy, nutritious breakfast that's going to get me going and keep me going and keep me fueled? We know what the right decision is, but we also know what the yummy, you know, sugar, man, we all love the taste of that. Easy decision is. Same thing, you know, I have the option of eating healthy for lunch, or I can hit that fast food drive-thru because, you know, they've made that so freaking convenient, right? You just pull in, order your fries, your burgers, anything else that's completely horrible for you. You know, don't forget the big upsize it, right? Upsizing into that huge soda. Discipline. I have the option to say, no effing way. I'm not doing that. I am going to go with a healthy choice. Same thing with our exercise routines. I don't feel like going to the gym today. I really don't feel like getting there. You know, this week, somebody put that right out there. Hey, I need a little help. I need a little help making that decision, getting to the gym tonight. And they showed up. That's discipline. Discipline is within each and every one of us. You know, Jim hit the nail on the head. It doesn't control me. I control it. If there's a short definition ever on discipline, man, that is it. Great advice. doesn't control me, I control it, and we all have that opportunity. Jim's story doesn't end there. At some point, he decides to get in the ring with his boys and become a fighter. Here's that story.
So, continuing on with your journey, at some point, you decided to get in the ring.
I did.
And what was that conversation like, Paul?
Oh, man, coming back to me. So, I mean, you know, the boys were fighting already. I can't remember if Dylan was already in the ring. Dylan was not, right?
No, he was.
Was Dylan already in too?
Yeah.
You know, I know David and his dream kind of sparked this really with everybody. The whole thing started back with David years ago when, you know, he asked about learning to get in the ring and things like that. So I remember Jim just asking about, well, what do you think about me getting in the ring? And it's like, well, you can do anything you want to do. If you want to make this happen, let's make it happen. And I mean, you know, here we are. And he was not pleased with himself in his first outing. And because of that, said, I'm doing this again. I'm going to say learn from my mistakes, but not even so much mistakes, but he grew from his experience in that first stepping in the ring. He understood the atmosphere better and the energy better, things that there's no way to know until you're in that environment and doing it. He decided he wanted to do it again so that he could, we'll say, end it. Although he has talked a few times about a third one, but you know, he wanted to go out there and he wanted to end it on his terms.
Wait. He just ran, put his gloves on. I'm not sure what this is all about. I think he's starting to hit pads in the back.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. But, you know, he wanted to.
Chris.
Yeah, right. Exactly. He's protecting himself. But he wanted to end it on his terms. He didn't love his showing. And he wanted to do it on his terms. So he said, I'm doing this again. And, you know, here we are. He's talking about a possible number three, but talk about an inspiration. I mean, I tell him pretty often, he's one of the only people I know that every year he gets older, he looks younger.
Isn't that crazy?
Incredible. Crazy. And it's because of the way, what he does. He's a machine with his body, you know, the way, you know, how he eats and how he works out and how he balances every aspect of his life that he finds important, from family to training to teaching. He balances it all, and, you know, it's insane.
Jim has played a major role in our fight team right from the very beginning. You know, in the beginning, he was working with his boys, getting them fight ready to get in the ring, and it has evolved. You know, currently we have 14 to 15 people who are training in fight team. Some of them are working towards their goal of getting in the ring, and Jim plays a major role in that, as he's our fight team leader. So he's going to take us from the beginning, where they were then, where they are now, and talk a little bit about fight camp for fights that are coming up in April.
So let's get right into the teaching part. So you fought, and now you strive to become a coach for the fighters.
I do.
So we're going to segue right into fight team, and how has that evolved here? Because when it wasn't always here.
This was something that started, we'll go back, David started it, right? He was the catalyst to it. Frank Duva was part of that whole mess. I'll say mess, they, you know, learning our way through it. You know, Paul and Frank and David did it. They paved the way. Beating on each other for quite a while before we got them in the ring. You know, and it's blossomed from there. It's, you know, more and more people want to get involved. I think we have 14 now in Fight Club, maybe. And tonight was the first night of ELF that we started the entry level fight club.
Perfect. So ELF, entry level fight club.
Yes, sir.
So what's, you know, one of my questions here was, what is ELF and what is this all about? It's new, it's exciting.
It's just to build, it's help. Some people want to just learn how to fight, but don't want to get in the ring. Some people want to learn the proper techniques to punching and kicking. Maybe they're back in this. Most of them are spin boxing folks. And, you know, when we go back there, we're going hard. We're going fast. We're trying to burn cardio and slowing it down a little bit and adding a lot of technique, a lot of combinations, showing them the things that if maybe they want to take that next step and come up front here with us and join the karate side and maybe get in the ring. I had one stop me at the end of class. She's all about getting in the ring. She's going to talk to Paul and she wants to make it happy. And I think it's fantastic. And that's it. You know, really starting at the basics, they might want to just do that. You know, we'll just do basic punches, kicks, you know, learning all the basics, doing a lot of pad work, you know, how to duck and weave and get away from a hit and movement, a lot of that stuff.
I love it. So with the fighters, you often run, as fights come up, you know, you guys prepare and you guys do a fighter training camp. So how different is the training from what you do, you know, the rest of the year and then what you do during camp?
So camp is pretty intense. It is not for the weak at heart. I got to say, and the fighters will kill me, but we've had many of the fighters break down, usually in the second week of fight camp, especially their first time through fight camp, and they just totally break down. It's intense. We put them through, you know, we'll bring them back for half an hour on the bikes, and it's not an easy half hour. It's, you know, level 15, 16, and they're going for 20 minutes. And then we come out here, and we'll do some crazy drills with carrying each other back and forth, just different drills. Crazy push-ups and sit-ups, then the spar. And we'll put one person in the middle, and we'll have a new person come every minute or a minute and a half, or up to eight people. So you could be in there for 12 minutes, just sitting there. And by the time you're done, we're breaking them. But it is part of the process.
Absolutely.
We're not hurting them.
Right.
But you're definitely exhausting them and helping them build them back up. And by the end, you see what happens. I mean, you know, Paul and I had the fighters in October, and we were five out of six. And I'd say we were pretty close to six out of six that day. It was our best showing yet. And we're going to continue that just with the way that we've got.
How long are the camps?
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
6 weeks is an intense camp. So we are starting camp right now.
So you're starting camp now. We got fights coming up in April, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. When you're in fight camp, you know, the world we live in now, social media, with all this stuff, how do you, you know, social media is a beast. How do you keep the fighters from not getting distracted with that kind of noise? And I call it noise because that's what it is to me at times. And how do you reduce or eliminate, you know, those type of distractions during like a fight camp? And how much emphasis is on the opponent during a fight camp?
So we'll start with the first one first, because honestly, fighting is 70% mental, 30% is the rest. If they're not mentally ready, they'll fail. You know, why do we bow to walk on these mats? What do we say when we walk in here? The bow is to what? To leave everything behind. And I can tell by looking at the fighters when they walk in where they're at. I'll make some of them step off and walk back and bow and tell them, you leave it there. You have to leave it there. You can go pick it up later if you want, but when you're here, you're focused just like you were in the ring. Because if you're not, bad things happen, and it does. Sometimes they get hit too hard, and it's like you didn't have your hands up because your mind's not here.
Right.
We have to get them back and center them, and we help them do that. So that's how that all works.
So, and a lot of times during camps, fighters have to add or cut weight. Man, what, like,
I hate weight cut.
Me too.
Paul, I mean, what do you? I mean, you kidding me? Weight. I don't know. I don't know if I could. I would. That comes back to what we're talking about, and that comes back to discipline.
It does, because I'll tell you, Jim Ferenczi has his weight cut 2 weeks prior to the fight. I'm at weight 2 weeks prior. Most of our fighters here are pretty good. We have two or three, and two of them actually have the same last name as me, that do struggle with getting to their weight. We're working on that. We're working with trainers and weekly weigh-ins, and I mean I ask them all their weight. Those that are going that are matched, I'm asking them their weight constantly. Where are you at? And if they're not getting there, and we're, you know, 4 weeks out, 3 weeks out, we may have to talk, Paul and I, about pulling them. Because if it's too much weight to cut, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to risk anybody's health. You know, we've learned, you know, and I'll speak to, you know, David, and one time he cut 8 pounds or 9 pounds in one day.
Yeah.
And ended up the next day at the fight, still dehydrated, goes to throw a kick and tears his hamstring, tore it. So those are the dangers I won't allow happen again. And we're doing everything we can to not allow it to happen. So yes, it's discipline. It's check-ins. It's holding people accountable. You got to have somebody holding you accountable.
Yeah, that's huge. I guess this question's for both of you. You know, there's a lot of people that step on the mats, and you know, you're training and you're keeping them focused. At what point do either of you or both of you have a conversation when you know a fighter is ready to be matched? And what are you looking for? Like, what do you look for before you actually say, you know what, this one's ready to get in the ring? And I think this is an important question, because anybody listening that wants to get in the ring, they're going to be listening to this answer closely. So think about it. And
you want to go first, Sensei?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I dropped a bomb on you too.
No, you're good. I just didn't. I didn't want to. So having three of us on here, I just want to make sure that I'm not like cutting anybody off.
Yeah,
or
no.
We're all talking at the same time. No, for sure. You know, it's just like Jim mentioned with everything earlier. It's a lot of the mental side of, you know, the person, and of course, skill wise, where are they? So how hard are they working when they're here? You know, Jim mentioned training camp in the 6 weeks and the intensity of it. You know, for those of us that have trained in the martial arts, on the martial arts side, the best way to kind of describe it is it's a black belt cycle on steroids in 6 weeks, to where it is, you know, everything, all we're going to say, the painful parts of your black belt cycle in those 6 weeks. So as far as what do we look for? Do you have the desire, the true desire, to put everything that you have out there and work towards earning the respect to get into the ring? You know, and just as Jim has mentioned, just like everything in life, it doesn't come with a manual. We have learned along the way and, you know, looked at things differently now than we did 5 years ago, or however many years ago, 4 years ago. But you look at the hard work. Are they willing to put in the work, the time, the effort? You know, a lot of people, and this is just normal in general in life, you know, they see the top of that iceberg, right? We talked about this earlier in the week. They see the top of that iceberg, and that person that's in the ring with the championship belts, and they want to be that person, just like they want to be a black belt. I want to be a black belt someday. But then they get a year and a half, 2 years into training, and they're like, well, why aren't I a black belt yet? Well, you got to work towards it. And same thing with that. You know, they see David earning his championship belts. They see Dylan, you know, walking out like an action figure and winning his championship belts. That's what they want to be. But we look for, are they going to put the work in that the boys and that, you know, Misty and James and Frank and the team has put in to getting there? So skill, heart, how hard are you working? And, you know, mentally, are you ready for that challenge?
He's nailed it. I mean, that's really it, you know. And a lot of people say they want to do it, and we've had some not do it. I'll be honest. I bailed out of my first fight. Mm-hmm. I think 2 weeks prior to fights, we were offered a fight of a guy. And I said to Paul, I said, yeah, I don't know. This doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem right. Now, after watching the guy fight, I regret it with all my heart and soul.
Oh, I regret that one anytime we think about it. But just real quick, let me just, and I don't want to talk too much, but I do want to throw this in here, because you said you bailed and you did not bail. That was another learning lesson on all of our end, to where I certainly wouldn't say that you bailed. We kind of stopped training, Jim, right? Jim was working towards a fight, and then we got, whatever, a few weeks out. And again, somewhat new to us, few weeks out, and there was still nothing. So it was like, well, now he focused on what he does. He focused on helping the people who were getting in the ring, who were already matched. So his actual camp kind of came to a stop. And then all of a sudden, like you said, like a week or two before, it was like, hey, we got this guy for you. And, you know, even me, I remember the phone call. I remember, which I don't make many phone calls. I usually text. But anyways, I remember the phone call, and I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, I almost hope he doesn't want this, because we stopped, you know. Yeah. So he didn't really bail. That was kind of we just didn't set him up for success, really, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We could have taken that one without training.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, we could have. So now we know.
So earlier, you know, I asked the question, like, how much emphasis is on the opponent? Really, it's not. It's more on the training. It's more on working your skills, working, you know, being disciplined, working, you know, towards that ultimate fitness level that you need to be, that you physically need to be to get in the ring. And then in the ring, you have your corner coach and you have that person that's dealing with everything else. Am I?
You know, you're correct. I mean, there is, I will say, you still have to check the opponent.
Yeah.
You still have to check the opponent. Unfortunately, there's times that, you know, you get offered a fight. You don't have to share that. A lot of times, Paul and I don't share their opponents with our fighters.
Corner coaching, Paul.
Yep.
And on fight day and just being a coach. And same to you, Jim, because, you know, you're kind of doing both sides of it now. You're coming from the fighter side and the coaching side. What are the top three things you prepare your fighter for on fight day? What's the checklist?
Okay, so fight day, like to check in with them. Just try to do our best to make it a normal day. So make it so our emotions aren't peaking and then valleying up and down, high and low, and the excitement and the adrenaline. You know, doing our best to make it just a normal day. You know, as far as, you know, what do you say? What do you say to the fighters? Or, like, how do you get them, you know, pumped up? How do you keep them focused? You know, every single one of them is completely different. So, you know, the things that we say to them are going to be different. Jim's going to have a different, you know, so now Jim has, talk about dual roles, you know, he's dad and he's coach. So, you know, when it comes to, like, David and Dylan, you know, he's got his dad role and he's the coach as well. So, you know, we have specific ways, I guess, that you kind of handle everybody a little different. We're going to talk to Dylan differently than we're going to talk to David. We're going to, you know, talk strategy. We're going to have different ways to maybe try to pump them up a little more, try to maybe get a little more motivation. But if you have to motivate them too much on that day, then they weren't ready in the first place. Mm-hmm. And we haven't had that. So let's put that out there, but they're, you know, it's more or less just trying to make it as much of a normal day as possible. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I agree with him 100%. I mean, we have rituals with us because we've been doing it so long on what a day's like for us, but it's keeping it as normal as we can. I mostly talk strategy with them and, you know, I'll tell them what I'm expecting. Paul is the king of pumping them up. He's got these messages he sends to each one of them. And it's the best. I mean, I remember getting mine. I've seen Dylan's because I got my message from Paul. You know, they look forward to it. They look forward to it. They expect it. It's part of it's really part of the ritual, and it helps them. It does get them where they need to be. But
Jim and Paul both talked about the mental preparedness that goes into training camp. And we talk about mental preparedness, I'm going to take it right back to discipline, right? Our fighters got to be disciplined. They got to be making the right choices, getting to camp, putting in the work, putting in the hours, right? That's all part of that mental decision. It's all part of that discipline that we've been talking about the entire time. But not only prepping them and getting them ready for the fight, we also talk a little bit about what's going on fight day. Now let's talk about what's going on in the ring. Here they are after the first round, what it's like.
End of the first round comes and you hit that corner or they come into the corner. What are you saying to them?
Paul's flying over the rails. That's the way you do it. That's the way you go. That's what I expect.
That's how we always see the hands because, you know, Paul, you talk a lot with your hands. We see the hands going everywhere, but you can't, you know, it's loud in the room. You can't quite hear the conversation.
It's good that you can't hear the conversation.
yeah.
Shared with others.
Yeah, so those conversations, to get into those specifically, there's really not many of the words that I can actually say on this podcast.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But as far as, you know, what's going on, so if you think, you know, right before the fight, like as you're walking down, you know, and you're kind of just reiterating a little bit of the strategy and just the basic reminders of whether it's what to expect or what we expect. And, you know, with each one, it's a little bit different. So you look at someone like Dylan right now, you know, Dylan has, and using him as an example, you know, young stud here, he has so many people in his corner that he has so many people helping him, I guess you could say, or giving him advice. Let's put it that way. So you'll be standing there and, you know, you'll have people come up and, Dylan, do this. Dylan, do that. I mean, when I say people, I'm talking fans.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then he obviously, you know, has his coaches. He has us. You know, he has Bryce Mills, who, you know, is phenomenal to be associated with. You know, the kid's an animal, and he's a great kid and super intelligent. Yeah. So you got Bryce coming over. Then you got me talking to him. You got Jim talking to him. So what we try to do is keep it as simple as possible. I'm just using him as an example, but keep as simple as possible and just explain, you know, quick little pointers like, hey, remember, you know, you're leading with your jab, or, you know, remember, you're closing the gap. You know, we're just talking about those subtle reminders. And then when it comes to getting into the ring or the cage after the first round, you know, you could have all the strategy in the world, but that first round happens and it doesn't go the way your strategy would have played out best. You need to be able to think on the fly and say, okay, this is what's happening. This is what you need to do.
Yeah.
You know, and you could change your whole strategy in a matter of 5 seconds. So, right. You know, that's that, a lot of excitement and a lot of also, which it took a couple fights to learn, a lot of just sitting back and letting them breathe. Like, listen, man, it's only 2 minutes, but 2 minutes in front of hundreds, if not sometimes even more than hundreds of people, in that atmosphere going all out, like, they need to be able to just breathe for a minute. Yeah. So take your water, take your breath, and then we'll talk about some of the things that we can do to win this next round.
Yeah.
Fight camp is in full swing, and whenever you talk about any sport, there's always that competitive edge to it. And with that competitive edge, when you have a team like we do that's being led by a guy like Jim Ferenczi, that teamwork takes a major role into preparing 1, 2, maybe 3, maybe 5, 6 fighters, whatever it is, into bringing that entire camp together, growing together, and getting better together. That's what a team's all about. But it takes individual discipline to be part of that team, to contribute to that team. You know, if there's two fighters getting ready to get into the ring and none of the other fighters show up to camp to help push them, how well do you think those two fighters are going to do? You know, Jim's fight camp, every time that he holds a practice or every time that the fighters are getting together, the team shows up, not just for themselves, but for each other. We're excited, man. We have two people on the card coming up. Syracuse fights are April 4th at 6 o'clock. It's a lace-up promotion fight. Currently, we have Misty Corsett and Dylan Ferenczi on the card. You can get your tickets at laceuppromotion.com or just check the links that we've posted on 5-Star Spinboxing and 5-Star Martial Arts page. Here's the end of our conversation with Jim Ferenczi. Enjoy.
You ready to play a game, Paul?
Oh, sure.
Jim, so I'm putting you on the spot here.
What else?
You're going to tell us 3 very, very quick stories, like, oh, you know, I shot a 3-pointer and won a game in high school or whatever. 3 quick stories. 2 of them got to be real. 1's fake, and we'll see who can guess the fake one.
Oh, wow. I like this.
Wow, you're killing me,
too. So just 3 simple things. Like, it could be like...
All right. So I ran a bar one time, and there was kind of a bar fight, and some guy threatened me with a gun. I did actually win a basketball game shooting a 3-pointer. And I'll give you an easy one. Taking care of my mom right now.
Okay. All right. So, Paul, you got them?
I do.
Give me the lie.
Oh, my God. All right. So hard.
What do you – are we each – all right. So I'm going to guess that making the 3-pointer is the lie.
Okay.
No offense, Jim.
And I'm also going to guess at making the 3-pointer to win the game.
You're both
live.
Right.
Yeah! Here we go, our Jim Ferenczi.
At 19 years old, some guy threatened me with a
That sounds gun. Legit, man. I mean,
it was crazy.
Oh, man.
We're going to do a whole other show on that.
Yeah. We won't talk about it, but yes.
Oh, man. Dude, I appreciate you so much. And
thank you.
I really look up to you. And you're quite a role model to me. And I just, you know, to close the show or to finish this off, you know, we just want to hit home one more time on discipline. I think we nailed it a lot in here. And I think the fight group and the fight team, they have such an awesome leader. I don't know if I'm guessing they all know that. I'm here to tell you that you truly are an inspiration for a lot of people.
Thank you.
And you're a leader. You're a leader, and you not only know what discipline is, you practice it and you show it, and you're instilling it in the fighters. You see that. Like you said, leave it at the door. Get out here. It's time to work. Discipline. You know, the diets, discipline, all that stuff. It takes discipline. And I think you're a leader in that. I know, Paul, if you want to.
100%. Not to you'll get too sappy on you here, Jim. But I would definitely second what Tim is saying. And it's, you know, the term, a lot of, so this day and age, man, everything gets tossed out. You hear all the buzzwords, whether it's on Facebook or wherever it is, it's all the buzzwords. It's all the same stuff. Everybody's a leader. This person's so great. Like, you are a true leader. And the thing with it is you are a leader by example, and you practice what you preach. You train. I was just going through attendance the other day, and this is just sheer irony. I was going through attendance the other day as we're getting close to our next black belt cycle, and I was checking on people's attendance and stuff, and happened to go through, and I saw your attendance over the past 3 years. It was more than anybody I had seen to that point. You just lead by example. You know, you have, you know, back in the day, we called it LBEEE, and that is lead by example with the energy for excellence. And that's you. And I appreciate you. And, you know, this is a fun podcast, and I definitely knew you didn't make that three-pointer.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you guys. You know, as always, you know, we love getting these podcasts out there. You know, Paul, you like to finish it, so I'll let you end it with your, you know, your message to everybody that's listening. And
absolutely. If you haven't heard it before, if this is your first podcast, we'd like to end it in a similar fashion and just remind you that we have one chance on this earth, that, you know, do everything in your power to live every day to the fullest, enjoy life, and attack your goals. And we hope you guys have a great, great week.
Hey, thanks for listening today. That was a great conversation with Jim Ferenczi. Sorry about the sound issue. We're going to get better at this. Remember, we're still kind of amateur podcasters, so bear with us. We're going to get better, we promise. Just to recap on what Jim was saying, discipline. It's all about you. It's all about how hard you work on yourself. You have to discipline yourself. When you have a choice and you know what the right choice is, and you know what the lazy choice is, or the easy out choice is, go with that right choice. You know, we use the, you know, when we were talking to Jim, Jim actually said, I don't know what a snooze button is, and he doesn't. And that's what makes him who he is and how he is, because he's always working on himself, which is important. I think that's an important thing to take from this show. Listen, Jim is a near and very dear friend of mine. I appreciate him. We appreciate him. And I know what motivates him. And he might kill me for saying this, but his family and his support is what motivates him. You know, the whole structure that he has around him and the way they all help each other is absolutely amazing. They are the true definition of what a family should be and is. He's very proud of Hannah. He sent me a text later after the show. He's very proud of Hannah. Who owns her own dance studio. Colin, who has been very successful in his job, and also how he helps out. Colin helps out with fight team. He's there every fight. He's one of the corner coaches. Helps the team get prepared. He's here all the time working pads with the team. So Colin is following in Jim's footsteps as far as being a leader, and that's fantastic. And then, of course, to David, Dylan, and Jillian, and all that they've had to overcome with Tourette's, you know, OCD, anxiety, ADD, all those things. Watching what they have done gives him the total motivation. And Chris is his support. You know, without her, I don't think Jim, you know, can do all this. So kudos to the Ferenczi family. You guys truly are leaders, and we all love you. And thank you for allowing Jim to spend so much time with us to make us better. That's our show for this week. Remember, do something you love to do today and live well.